I'll say it again. Well, this morning we'll be in chapter 8 of Hebrews, and I'll begin in verse 1. It's not a very long chapter, but it is some really interesting information we need. Some things we need to understand. I'll read it first. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that you make all things according to the pattern showed to you in the mount. But now has he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he said, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord, and I will put my law into their minds and write them in their hearts. I will be to them a God, and they will be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. And I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith, A new covenant, he has made the first old. Now that which decays and waxes old is ready to vanish away. This is a powerful, powerful chapter. And Paul is pulling things from the Old Testament, all over the Old Testament, when he quotes these things. And all Paul did, now Paul was accused of many, many things. I've heard people accuse Paul of writing a new gospel. All Paul did was give a revelation of the old covenant. The old covenant being shadows and types, he brought it to reality and told us things. See, even Jesus being a man born under the law, made of a woman born under the law, he couldn't violate the law to bring in the new covenant. He had information he couldn't release, and Paul was the man God chose, the disciple out of season, apostle born out of season, to bring in this revelation, to fulfill it. So, this is what we have to see. Okay, let's go back to this first verse again. It says, Now of the things that we have spoken of, this is the sum or the main point. This is the main point, he says, okay? And I want to stop right there and read something to you. I want to read you some things that we've just talked about. I know you guys haven't been through all of it. So, we've talked about the sun. We've talked about ministering spirits. We've been talking about suffering for perfection. We've been talking about being delivered from bondage, about reconciliation, about partakers of the heavenly calling, not entering in because of unbelief. We've talked about if in chapter 3, if. There are a lot of ifs. We've talked about reverence. We needed reverence. We talked about today or now, about the rest of God, not the remaining of God, but actually resting. The great high priest, leaving the elementary principles, tasting of the good word of God. And God, the fact that God doesn't forget. He don't want us to be lazy. We need patience, and that will take us to the promise. About the Melchizedek priesthood, about the tithes under the law, and tithes and then tithes under the law. Two priesthoods. The law will not make you perfect. It's an unchanged, the new priesthood's unchangeable, correct? And we have no need for a continual sacrifice because the new priesthood is permanent up to this point. That's just a brief rendering of the things we've talked about in the first seven chapters. And he said, now because of all these things here, here's the main point. He's saying, after all those things, here's the main point. We have a high priest, and not a high priest, but the high priest. Okay? Who is set on the right hand of the throne of majesty of heavens. Okay? And that word majesty should be God. The throne of God in the heavens, or in the realm of the spirit. The word majesty isn't really majesty, it should be God. Okay? And I can give you some verses. Mark 16:19, Luke 22:69, Acts 22:3, and Acts 7:55, and all these talk about him being the priest, being the son seated at the right hand of the Father. Okay, if he's seated at my right hand, and I would reach over to get his hand if I'm pretending like I'm God, okay, and he's seated on my right hand, which hand does he hand me? His left hand, being in submission or to that. Okay.
For
everything, you know, I am saying, you know, I'm given. If I'm the son reaching my hand to the Father, I'm seated on the right hand. I reach to him with the left hand. I'm in submission, and his power and authority is above mine.
Yeah.
Right hand is full power and authority. Left hand speaks of being in the submission to the Father. Okay. That's the point of it, okay? But he said, this is the man that's sitting there. We have a high priest that's sitting there. He is second in command. Remember when Joseph was in Egypt, he was what? Second in command. He never assumed the full authority, did he? And say, even though Pharaoh was the bad cat, he was still who God had set as number one. So you don't challenge that. And if God sets it, just leave it alone. It's not my call. Don't care. That's the biggest problem today. It's a problem with all of humanity, not just church world, but church world's eat up with it, but the world is eat up with the same thing. When Adam said in Isaiah, and I believe it was Isaiah 14, I'm going to go and ascend to the sides of the north, I'm going to sit on the throne of God, I'm going to be God. See, that was written in there to let you know that is the nature of humanity, and Adam represents humanity. The nature of humanity is to try to always be on top. Isn't that true? It's always trying to reach up. Even if it's subconscious, it's always trying to best that spirit of competition in humanity. Always trying to be better than the next person. You know, I don't like competition anymore.
That's the raw nature and raw character if you see that in yourself.
Right. And that's what it's in the book for. So we can see that we can see that that's a flaw in human character. It's just a flaw. And it's inherent in all of us. Just like the seven ites of Deuteronomy 7:1. You know, those different ites. Jebusites, Hittites, Girgashites, all them different things. Those ites represent seven flaws in the character of humanity. That's all.
That would be like a revealing things of the wrong people.
It reveals that there's a problem in us and we need to work with it. See? That's all.
Yeah.
Okay. Verse 2. He is a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle. The word minister there is not a really good word. When we hear the word minister, what do you think about?
Servant.
Well, what do most people think about?
Preachers.
There you go. And he's the boss. See, that's not what he is.
Just go to his church, he'll tell you.
Yeah, you go to his church and he'll let you know he's the boss.
Yeah.
But see, Steve said the right word. It's servant. This word right here should be servant. He is the servant of the sanctuary. Didn't Jesus say, the greatest among you, let him be your servant of all? See? So, the more we know, the more we should be humbled down. And he says, if you humble yourself, you know, he'll exalt you. But if you exalt yourself, he'll humble you. And it won't be quite as easy a trip, I guarantee you. But it's about being the servant of the true tabernacle. Well, what is the true tabernacle? The sanctuary is right here. This is the true tabernacle. Your tabernacle is you. And the Christ in you is the one that's serving you. So you have to get out of the way and let him serve. You don't have a servant and then say, you go sit down and I'll take care of the job. You know, do it for you. Let the servant serve. And it says, the rest of that verse says, which the Lord pitched and not man. Now, doesn't it say that he said he does not live in a tabernacle built with hands? What are we? Know ye not you're the tabernacle of the living God? Wasn't built with hands, was it? It's not built by brick and stone and mortar and all that stuff, you know. It's made by God. And said, and not by humanity. Verse 3, because every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. And literally it should say the sacrifice and then sacrifice. Because see, the gift or the sacrifice had to be offered, and then the priest had to sacrifice that offering. Whatever it was. He'd bring a goat. He had to bring the goat in there and offer it. Once it's accepted, then he would kill it on the altar. Okay? So we had to be able to do that. I've said for a long time ago, but I understand a little bit more, hopefully, now than I used to be a good priest, you have to know how to butcher. And they did in the natural. There's going to be some hard things that's going to do some heavy cutting on us when we come to minister and offer that sacrifice. We're going to have to do some cutting away of the things we think in here. There's things that we are very attached to our thought processes. Probably every person has thought processes that they don't want to give up, no matter what. But we've got to be able to lay that on the altar and let it be accepted and then lay the knife to it. It
can be very subtle things.
Yeah, it can be very subtle. See, he said, like David said in the Psalms, Lord, deliver me from my presumptuous sins. Things, the hidden things that you don't even know about. But I promise you he'll do that. He's going to do it. Just when, I don't know. That's between him and you. That is not my job. Okay, but they offer the gift and then sacrifice it. Wherefore, it is of necessity this man possess something also to offer. So he had to offer something, didn't he? Doesn't it say later on, it says in the book of the New Testament, it says that he entered into the holy place with his own blood to offer. He'd already sacrificed himself, didn't he? So it was already taken care of. And technically, if you read the book in the way it's written, and it's actually real because the spiritual actually happened before the reality on the hill when he was sacrificed on the cross. He was the lamb that was slain when?
Before
the foundation or literally conception of the world. So it was already done when he showed up. So what he walked through was just something for our eyes to see so we could get the picture. Again, a parable.
But then I constantly conceive a new world every day.
Every day. Every day. It's changing. Verse 4 should say, therefore, if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts or sacrifices according to the law. He wouldn't be a priest because he's not offering according to the law, is he? He's a spiritual high priest. Who serve, these whirlwinds serve as the example or the pattern and shadow of heavenly things. So it said these people that are doing these natural things. Now you can take it right into the day. There's people doing all kinds of things today in churches, and a lot of it's not even fitting the pattern of the book. I mean, they're not even doing Old Testament patterns about worship. True worship is imitation. We've crossed this thing many times. We are to be imitators of Christ. Is that not right? So to be imitators, that is a form of, that's the truest form of worship there could be. I want to be just like that person. Just like Joe plays with these little toys. He would like to be one of those little men he's playing with, or them, you know, driving one of their little trucks or something. Isn't that a true form of worship? In his mind, that's where he's at. I mean, that's what kids do, you know, and they grow up and they realize there's something more. But we should have in our mind the picture, and that's not everybody growing a beard and long hair and having blue eyes and wearing a robe to say, I look just like Jesus. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about his nature and character internally, the thought process he had. See, that's what we're growing into, knowing who he really is. Because it wasn't about flesh and blood. And the book clearly states, we know no man any longer after the flesh. See, we know him by his spirit, by his nature. Okay, he said, as Moses was admonished or warned of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, because see, saith he, that you make all according to the pattern showed to you in the mount. do exactly what I said. It's got to be exact. If he'd have made anything wrong, it wouldn't have worked, would it? It had to be exactly the way it was shown. But now he says he has obtained a more excellent ministry. Just speaking of Christ. Or at his expense. And this word ministry is a cool word. This ministry is done at his own expense, it says. What did it cost him? His life, everything he had. And how many people today want to have a ministry at their own expense? Excuse me, I'm going to laugh on that one. Because the first thing they do is, we need money. We need money. And they can have an hour program and 45 minutes will be asking for money. And they'll give you about 15 minutes left to split up between singing and whatever aerobics class and whatever else they got going on. And what they call that, headline news or anything. They'll be telling you all the things going on in the world. And they might give you 5 minutes of telling you something about reading some scripture out of the book.
All choreographed.
Yeah, it's all choreographed. Yeah, so, I mean, it's pitiful. But this says here, this word actually says that the ministry is at his cost. I said for years I'd almost pay people to come and listen if they would listen. I'd pay them to come and listen, you know. But they wouldn't do it anyway. They wouldn't listen. They'd come and get the money. Okay. By the word how much should be as. By as also as the mediator. And the mediator right here is another word too. Should be or reconciler. That word mediator should be reconciler. By as also he is the reconciler of a better covenant, which was established from better promises. Notice the context or the that's not the word I want to use. The tense. Notice the tense of those words, which was established.
Past tense.
It's a done deal. See, we're not trying to figure out a new covenant. It's already done. The covenant has already been. The word was is past tense. The word established, ED, is past tense. So both words is pointing to this is a done deal. It's already established. Whenever he came to the earth, it was already established before the foundation of the world. Can it go wrong? No. Why are we worried about it? I don't know. I'm not. We shouldn't be worried.
Because we put the ego to worry about.
Well, I'll go further than that and say usually we think there's something we got to do beyond that because the church has told us you got to do something. How many people have been in a church that says, well, you can't just sit around, you've got to be doing something. You know what doo-doo is, don't you?
Yep.
It shouldn't be in the temple. You don't have to do nothing. All you have to do, here's what the book says you have to do.
Work.
Love the Lord, the God with the heart, soul, mind, and body, and love your neighbors yourself, and be obedient. God doesn't want your sacrifice, He wants your obedience. That's the only thing you got to do.
Love, obedience, follow.
Yeah. Well, he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Doesn't that sound like obedience? It does to me. So it's not really complicated. But see, when we listen to the other voice, John 10, my sheep hear my voice and the voice of another, they will not follow. Okay, but there's so many other voices out there. And see, the voice that you're supposed to hear, it ain't the voice of Dave. It's the voice of Christ within you. You should be hearing the same voice. Because God don't talk out of both sides of His mouth. He's not going to tell you to go north and me to go south. That's not right. He's going to tell you the same thing, isn't he?
Yeah.
And whenever you hear something coming from Dave's mouth or Lloyd's mouth or Steve's mouth or anybody, any of you girls, any of you, if something comes out, your spirit in you should tell you yea or nay right there. You know it's the truth or you know it's not. You might not even like it if it's the truth. But it's still the truth and you'll know it.
Sometimes.
See, that's hearing the voice of God.
You may not hear it right then.
It may be later. You know. But when you hear it, you'll know it. You know, that's why Paul said, once he had a revelation of Jesus Christ, he no longer conferred with flesh and blood. See, it's not important about what somebody said, but can I hear the Spirit speaking through that vessel? I can hear the Spirit through all kinds of things. I can hear people, I meet them every day over in town, over at McDonald's. People that are speaking things of God, and they have no idea what they're saying. I don't care. I love them anyway.
Amen. thing will be communicated now that will not be received till God's ready for it to.
How long can the seed lay in the earth before it's germinated?
Till they're ready to receive it.
Well, even in a natural, they say seeds can lay up to 25 years in the ground before they come, till they come up. So until the right situation, the right heat, light, and moisture, and then there they come. It's the same thing in people's lives. I'm dropping seeds everywhere I go. I'm just throwing seeds out. And, you know, it's up to God to bring them up. He called me to be a seed sower. I know you've heard me say it before. I'm a seed sower. I know that. And I sow it. And it's not me to look back and see if it sprouted or not. It's not my concern. Because God gives the increase. Doesn't He say some sow, some water? God gives the increase. Just sow the seed. Don't worry about it. It's not my call. I can't make it grow anyway, can I? Because only God created something that can grow out of that seed. You know, I can't make it grow. God already set it up where it will grow. I can't get any credit for that, can I? You're in the wrong business.
You might have to raise the temperature on their refiner's pot to burn off certain things to make it so they're ready to receive it.
Yeah, that's just part of the service.
Break them in certain areas so that they can receive this.
Yep. Verse 7 says, because if that first covenant had been or existed, past tense, faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. Okay? And right over in Hebrews 9, right here it said, then verily, the first verse, actually in the second verse, for there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick, and the table, and the showbread, and it's called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. That's a pattern of the New Testament. The Old Testament pattern, there was three compartments, were there not? Outer court, holy place, holy of holies. Well, here we only got two. It said, then verily the first covenant had ordinance of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. We weren't even talking about the natural, that was just a shadow and a type. But even the original tabernacle in the natural was what?
Us.
It's us. And this word worldly sanctuary literally says it is having the character of this present corrupt age. That word worldly there, Thayer says it, that it's having the character of this present corrupt age. Well, this age began from the time Adam came on the earth. This corrupt age of humanity.
Is that a flesh of thinking?
Sure it is. See? So, there's no room for the second as long as the first one's there. And if you go on down, it tells you in Hebrews 9 and is it 8? Yeah. This the Holy Ghost signifying that the way into the holiest of all is not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle is standing. We've got to get that view of the Old Testament out of our head and get the view of the New Covenant in our head. And as long as the first one is still in our head blocking everything, there's no way into the Holy of Holies. That's just what the book says. I didn't write it. It's there. So we've got to get this old stuff out of our head. And man has taught us, and what we call church system today is man's system. It has nothing to do with God. God may utilize it and bring people through it, but God didn't set it up. Man did. Because there's so much deception, so much corruption, so much lying, cheating, everything you can imagine. Listen to what's going on in the world through Catholicism and Hinduism and Muslim and Baptist and Methodist and Pentecost. They're all polluted because they don't want to give up their own thinking. They've mixed it with their own stuff. And only pure spirit goes into the Holy of Holies. It's got to change. Where's it going to change? Didn't Jesus say, if you don't speak up, the rocks will cry out? You want to give up your place in the kingdom to a rock? I don't. I'm not giving mine up. I'll do whatever it takes. I'm going on in. Verse 8, because finding fault with them who? Anybody under the old covenant, living under the law? And you know where everybody lives today in the church world? Even the world lives under the law. Nearly everybody. Only the ones that don't live under the law are the ones God has called out.
That's why you have such a heck of a time, because if you're free.
You're free, you scare the hell out of people.
Yeah.
You intimidate them.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're free and you're not bound by their fears and phobias like they are. It's religion all the way. Them is the religious folk. They're still living under the law. If you have to do anything or you have to not do something, that's a law. And the book says in Galatians 3, if you're living under the law and you don't fulfill the whole law, just violate one part of it, you're guilty of the whole law, and that penalty is what?
Death.
Well, the church don't pay no attention to that chapter. They just read over that one and go on.
That's rough.
Sure it's rough. It's the truth, though. The truth can be very, very stiff sometimes. Okay? He said, behold, the day will come when the Lord, said the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Who's making the covenant?
God.
Well, why are they telling you? You've got to make a covenant with God. You've got to come up here and slobber and snot around on a board and ask forgiveness. You've got to go get water baptism. You've got to go to church every Sunday. You've got to give so much money. You've got to do that. You've got to dress this way. You've got to cut your hair this way. Now, come on. He said, I will make the covenant. That's important to know, that it's not about you volunteering for this thing. It's about God drawing you to Him. The only reason I came to God, because He got a hold of me. It had nothing to do with me. I wasn't trying to go to church. I was running as far from it as I could go. And I was in a truck on the way to Columbus. Had nothing to do with anything when He got a hold of me. He just took me. And that's the way it is. That's the way it works. When He wants you, He'll get you. He changed me. He made the covenant with me. And you know why I love Him? Because He first loved me. I never knew what love was until He got me. And I couldn't love anybody else in my life until He loved me. Because I didn't know what it was. No one on earth had ever shown me love like He had. I didn't know what it was. My family, nobody had ever showed me love. My wife tried to love me, but she didn't know how either. Because as humans, we don't have
hard
the...
Hard enough to love.
I was a hard one to love, I'm sure. But still, nobody in human nature has the ability to love until God gives. We can love as humans love, but not the love of God. And when the love of God gets on you, then you can love everybody, just as He did, or He does. But He made the covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. And that's in duality, or it speaks of religion. Jerusalem is part of the same word, Jerusalem. And it speaks of religious confusion. Because they continue not in my covenant, and I regarded them not. Now there's a bad rendering right there. A very bad rendering. I regarded them not. That sounds like God cast them aside. That's not what the word says. You know what the word really says? I neglected them not. That means God keeps His covenant whether you do or not. He made a covenant, and He'll keep His covenant even when you don't. That's what reconciliation is all about, telling you, I don't care, even if you screw up, you're still my child, and I'm going to make sure you get through it. Just like your children, when your children have an issue and get off course, you love them so much, you have to correct them. But not to punish. It's not a punitive thing, it's a corrective thing. You love them so much, you've got to get them back in the house. Not literally.
Can't stay outside.
Inside joke here. Hope so, maybe not. Okay. Because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, says the Lord, but I neglected them not. So He didn't neglect them. He still protected them through the desert, didn't He? Even though they were being disobedient all the way through. Worshipping idols, doing all kinds of stuff. Murdering people. You know, all these things that happened in those 40 years. He didn't neglect them, did He? Never did. He said, I don't know how many times, I couldn't even say. How many times He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That was even in the Old Testament.
He also said, I'll have no other gods before me.
He said, that's right. But they did. So they got to be
yourself, and you want to be God.
Yeah, go ahead. You're going to be taken care of. I promise you. one place he had them take and burn the idols and make dust out of it and throw it in the water, and he made them drink the water. That wouldn't have been too good. There's more to it than that, but I ain't got time to get into that one. Verse 10. Because this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. Who's making it?
Yeah.
Okay. And he says, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts or their minds. Who's doing the writing and the putting?
Yeah.
I will be to them a God. Who's going to be a God? He didn't say you get to be God, did he?
Nope.
Okay. And they shall also be to me a people, or my people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because all shall know me from the least to the greatest. What's that sound like? He said, if everybody's going to know me, and this knowing is not saying, oh, there's Steve, but you're going to know Steve, right? You're going to know who he is. An intimate relationship. See? We're all going to know who God is. We're all going to know God because we're going to realize who we really are. He's our Father. We're all going to do it.
Just like when you meet certain people.
You know automatically.
Yeah.
You just know.
You just know.
Verse 12 says, because I will be merciful to their unrighteousness or their injustice. It should say their injustices. Many people have injustice done in their life. And he said, I'm going to be merciful to them. That means he's going to correct those injustices. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Sounds like Jubilee to me.
Yeah,
and their sin, or their violation of the law, okay? I'm going to be merciful to all them, and their iniquities. And that iniquity literally speaks of missing the mark, like sins, that the church calls sins. And I will remember them no more. If you count them, I will, starting verse 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's 5 I wills there. From verse 10 through. From this passage of Scripture, there's 5. Just there's 5 there. And if you look at Jeremiah 31:31. Isaiah, let's go to Isaiah 14, 13. I'm going to show you something there first. Isaiah 14, 13. Went right by it, Dave. Isaiah 14, 13. Are we there? Now this is Adam. Are you ready? He said, for thou hast said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend to the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. That was the heart of Adam trying to be God, like we talked about earlier. How many I wills is there? 5 right there again. 5. See, he was trying to copy what God said he would do. And that's what the pattern is. And you can go on and see there's other verses right here. The Jeremiah 31:31, John 6:45, both say the same thing. I'll go to Jeremiah. It's right here close anyway. Yeah, but there's a true side to it when it's the Christ speaking out, not in the unrefined nature. The natural man perverts it and wants to take over under his own strength, but the spiritual man does it the other by the Spirit. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Okay, Jeremiah 31:31 says, behold, the days come, and this is where Paul got this understanding from this writing here. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke, although I was a husband to them, saith the Lord. Does that sound familiar?
Same words.
But this is the covenant that I will make. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, say, Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their minds, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Sound familiar? And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. But there it is. Paul was only giving you a revelation of what was going on back there, bringing it clearer to us today. That's all he was doing. Now, I left one verse, didn't I? Verse 13. And Paul's saying, in that he said, and the word saith is the word said, past tense. He said, a new covenant. He said, when he said a new covenant, he has made the first, or the prototype, it's the word protos for first. He said the prototype of the covenant, obsolete. Not old, but obsolete. And that which decays and waxes old, or is growing old, is ready, or is nearly disappeared, is what I should say. It's nearly disappeared. But he didn't say it was gone. Why did he say it wasn't gone? Why did he say it's nearly disappeared? Because people are holding on to the Old Testament. They're still living under the law, living in a manner of being cursed. They're not being cursed by God. God didn't curse them. They're cursing themselves because they're not receiving the blessing that God has already given to them. It's not like God's up there, I'm going to smack you because you're not fulfilling what I told you to do in the new covenant. They're doing it to themselves. Who broke the covenant?
We did.
The people broke the covenant. God never broke it. He said, hey, I've not rejected you. I've not neglected you in any way. You have. You've rejected yourself. You've disqualified yourself. That's what this book of Hebrews is all about. Understanding all this stuff that the Old Testament didn't give us a clarity on. And it was not meant to at the time. But now we're supposed to know these things. We can't get it straight if we don't get it out of the way. All this other garbage. We can't keep packing all that stuff that the law gives us. Okay? Any questions? Comments? I could rant on about this all day, but I'm not going to. I just want to... I don't have them fancy three fancy endings. You give you two or three different endings. And then...
We wouldn't be here.
Really?
I don't.
So anybody got any comments or rocks to throw or any of that? We take it all. You don't? Okay. That's cool.